Welcome to Wyatt's Haven of Bliss podcast. My name is Wyatt Galen Houts, and I'm your host today. I have all kinds of Chicago events for you. First, we're going to talk about the Lyric Opera, then the Toulouse paintings at the Art Institute. I'm going to talk about chess at Lincoln Park, and we have some talk of the town about various things that are going on in Chicago, from skyscrapers to the subway to politics. And lastly, I am going to pitch my novel, Normandy, which is an ongoing work I will tell you more about later. First of all, let's talk about my subscription to the Lyric Opera, which showed up today. I have a season pass to all 8 shows at the Lyric Opera, starting with Carmen in October. Carmen is a French opera, and it is about basically a gypsy. And it's really great, because the Lyric is one of the best opera houses in the whole world. Not compared to the ones in Vienna and the Met in New York and the one that's like the National Opera House of Paris. I'm really excited about this year's season because there's a lot of great people coming through here and there's always really wonderful people performing at the Lyric Opera. I've always been a big fan of classic music, and I'll give you a little more updates as those shows come about here to come. But for now, since we have to wait until October for the Lyric season to kick off, let's talk about the Toulouse painting exhibit at the Art Institute. Through October, there's a French impressionist, French painter called Toulouse, and he did paintings in the late 1800s, at the time of Picasso and Van Gogh, and he painted impressions of the Moulin Rouge, which is a cabernet, kind of a prostitute house that was really popular in France at that period. And he was an alcoholic and basically drunk himself to death by the age of 36. But his paintings are still here and they're beautiful. I saw a lot of yellows and oranges, and the most famous one that I recognized was a picture of the inside of the Moulin Rouge, which had a woman's face who looked kind of ghostly. A couple of the paintings have light from underneath. And I just really enjoyed seeing all of these very active and lively paintings. Although he painted prostitutes and men, but it was more of like, it wasn't like a derogatory view of the Cabernet, but it wasn't exactly positive either. Like when he painted the prostitutes, they would just be like sitting around in a cafe, or he would paint like working class women and they weren't really flattering poses. They were just looking around or sleeping or relaxing, and it just gave you a glimpse, a vignette into the life at the Moulin Rouge, which he partook in all the time. I really enjoyed just the impressions. He did some parodies of some other Greek art. There was this one painting that had some muses and some nudes all by the beach that someone had done, a Greek painting, and he has an impression of it that has this a long line of businessmen, Englishmen, who had come to see the women. And it was just a parody on, you know, the nakedness of the women and how there's beauty. But his impression is how we exploit it and we sell it, like they did in the Moulin Rouge. And he loved to paint this particular woman who had black gloves in many of the paintings, who was like the lead dancer for the Moulin Rouge. And there's other paintings by Picasso there. And basically they had not only the Toulouse, but they also had some of Picasso's paintings who came into the scene. And he did some impressions of the Moulin Rouge and the giant elephant, which they stole from the World Fair, and mostly the dancing. And everyone is very, you know, excited. And it's a little bit impressionistic at the same time. So you have the dancers blurred in, you know, with the Englishmen and the bartenders, and everyone is just having a wonderful time. And I really enjoyed it. Plus, the way that he did, like, really strong outlines around people, and the hands in some of the images just had really sharp fingers that were not only beautiful to look at, but they're also very creepy at the same time. And they had paintings from inside of his studio. He had some sort of cafe called the Chat Noir, or the Black Cat, and they had all these pictures of cats that were black, and they had one picture that was hung inside of his cafe that had a multitude of cats all coming They're like calico cats with pointed ears, and they were all coming towards like the traditional black cat, which was at the top of a small mountain, and the moon was behind it. And they were all coming to pay tribute to the god of cats. And it was just it was a really beautiful but slightly twisted piece, considering like black cats are popular in Wicca and witchcraft, which is very interesting. As a side note, I've been studying some theology about the nature of the fall and how the fall, which is when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and believed the lie of the serpent, and after they had lied to God about breaking his covenant of not eating from the tree of knowledge, that all creation had fallen, and how that affects our entire universe. And some people are convinced that there are aliens out somewhere far, far away and space is too empty, but it doesn't seem logical that our fall, that Adam and Eve did on the earth, would affect alien civilizations so far away, because all of their laws of entropy, of decay, of light would affect them also. So I think that's a pretty strong argument that there are no alien life forms out there that are intelligent and anything like the human race, unless they're in another dimension or something. But at the same time, people make this argument about the world being God, and everything, light is God, and therefore light and matter are the same, therefore I am God, and this chair is God. It's kind of like the whole Wicca thing, which is how I'm tying this into the black cats, where the whole world is God. But if this whole world is obviously fallen, knowing our human condition and just how nature is struggling to survive, but it's always decaying, this everything is like evidence of like the hardship of the world, which God said that that man would toil all the days of his life in order to make his being. So therefore, if nature is falling and struggling, then, you know, is God really fallen? Did God fall also at the time of the fall? It seems logical to me that therefore, because the world has fallen, you know, God has not fallen. And although light is God and God is light, it's not as like pantheistic, or what is the Wicca God, who believes everything nature is God, with Gia and stuff like that. But getting back to the two Laos paintings, they were really a beautiful exhibit, and if you get a chance, go check it out. So moving on, the next thing I wanted to talk about is chess at Lincoln Park. One of my friends tipped me on to this, and if you go up Lincoln Park, which is basically the North Beach, they just shot a film there with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. And I saw some pictures of them out there done really poorly on a camera phone. Lincoln Park Beach goes all the way up the east side of Chicago. And there's beaches in various spots, and there's a path that goes all along the way. And up near Lincoln Park, parallel to Moody, so if you go all the way up to North Avenue, which is probably 1600 North, and go straight to the beach under Lakeshore Drive, there's a pavilion there where people play chess. There's benches under a covering, and all the benches are stone, but they have like a little chess lattice board engraved in them, and people either lie their mats out on the knoll posts, or they use the actual stone boards to play chess on. And I was pretty excited about that, because the only other time that I was playing chess was with this homeless man who kept coming into my Starbucks on Rush Street. And although he was fun to play with, he's moved on to other parts of the city and left me without a partner. Unless I wanted to play online, but that's really not that fun. And, you know, who wants to spend their evenings on the computer like I do all the time? It's good for me to get out, enjoy the city. It's Chicago, after all. And I want to go meet some people. So I go to this event, and they're there all day, and I realize that they're pretty serious people there, because I'm like, who wants to play a game of chess? And then we're like, get out of here, kid. Who are you? So I played a couple game people. At first they're like, well, you can't play unless you pay. And everybody wants a dollar to play chess. So the good people there sit there with clocks and they're like, if you pay a dollar, then you can play me. And I was like, well, if you win, you can have a dollar. But I realized that's really more like gambling that they're getting at, although they're charging for a service fee. But why should I pay a dollar to play against someone I'm going to beat anyway? And these guys aren't like masters or anything. They're just old folks who are just really serious about chess, as if they're going to make their living off of it. Because they're there all day long with a little professional rollout bat. So everyone has the same rollout kind of bat. It's like this vinyl with brown and khaki colors on it, and white goes in the bottom corner. Chess was originally started in India, and they had elephants and all kinds of cool things in it, but now it's basically all medieval things like rooks and horses and kings and queens, and basically it's all about killing the king, and as soon as the king is dead, the game's over. So I play chess with a couple guys, and I'm like, hi, how you doing? And they just look at me like, why are you asking me my name? That's like a sensitive topic. But I lost several times. I won once because one guy made a mistake in speed chess, but other than that, I've been cleaned every game by every person I played there. So I think if I go again, I'll need to bring my own mat. I have one of those tournament mats that roll up, like I just mentioned. And I have like my own pieces that are the official tournament set, and they're really big, but it's a lot of fun. So I've gone there a couple days. I spent a couple hours, but I spend
it's
a lot of time
o'clock.
Sitting around because I'm not gonna, you know, pay just to play these guys. They're not anyone special, but it was a lot of fun, and just to see all these people playing chess, and there's like a society around it, and it's right on Lake Michigan. You can see, you know, the horizon of water forever at the, you know, at infinity. And there's boats everywhere, little sailboats. And in the distance, there's cruise liners. And there's planes flying by with messages on their banners that they're toting behind them. And rollerbladers and runners and people on special bikes where you lay down are always cruising by. A couple other people were playing Go, which is this game with white and black beads. And it's just a lot of fun, and I hope to like go there a little bit more. Maybe I can break in to a couple more people and find out who are like good-spirited about it. So let's move on a little bit. Enough about chess. Let's talk about the town. There's a lot of things going on right now. There's a big hubbub about the Wrigley Building being sold in the condos. But right behind the Wrigley Building, there is the Trump Tower location, right on the Chicago River by Michigan and Wacker. It's going to be about 1,300 feet, and it's really a big deal. It's being designed by the son of Donald Trump, as far as I've heard. I don't know what Donald Trump has to do with it, more than his name. But it's supposed to be this luxurious you know, condos and real estate, and everybody's talking about it because it's already 40% sold. And once they get to a certain point, they're going to start building it, and it's due up in a couple of years. There's also been some talk about building this other hotel condo building over by Navy Pier. And what that would be is the tallest building in the world. And there's been a lot of debate about, well, is it actually going to be built? Because who wants to live in a building that's going to be a target? Because we already have the Sears Tower, which is one of the tallest buildings in the world. Depending on how you classify a building, it's the tallest building in the world. I think if you go by like the absolute height. And we also have the Aon Center, which is like one of the top buildings in the world. And then our third biggest building is the Hancock Building. The Aon Center, they built the whole thing, and then they realized the siding was falling down, so they had to rebuild a new casing for it, and ended up the facade that they added, which is really not that great to look at. It looks like those dividers that are stackable for the freeway. You know, it cost more than the original building cost, but this was like years later, so, you know, there's inflation involved in that. The other big thing everyone's excited about is Daly. Mayor Daly, the Irishman, is surrounded with controversy. And the Republicans and conservatives would love to get him out because he's been, you know, he's like the mob boss for Chicago. And his father was the mayor for a long time, too. And they have this tradition of being the longest running mayors ever. And they're very democratic. And there's this reward right now that is 10 grand will go to anyone who can lead to evidence of some sort of malicious activity that gets Daly booted from his seat. So if you know anything that can oust Daly, Mayor Daly, then you can get 10 grand, which is almost insulting for you to be able to try something against this guy, which, you know, people say, make allegations that he allegedly has mob ties, but everybody has mob ties from Daly to Frank Sinatra. You can get him out. So maybe if it's 100 grand, I'll talk. But before that, I'm just going to keep my peace. So let's talk about the subways for a minute before I pitch my novel. We're almost to the end. To Wyatt's Haven of Bliss podcast, you can visit the website at www.havenofbliss.com. That's HAVENOFBLISS.com. I recommend you check it out because of the photography that I have there and writings on there. And I actually have an excerpt of Normandy, which is the code name for my new book. But before we get to that, let's talk about the subways. I was riding the Blue Line home from the Mayfair stop just as an alternative because it can take over half an hour, sometimes 40 minutes, to ride the bus from Union Station to 1100 North, which is the area where I live. And I tried to ride the Blue Line down and transferring to the Red Line to come back up to the Clark exit. That's a lot of information if you want to stalk me, but I'm really not that interesting. I'm just some guy on a podcast, and you must be looking for things to do if you're listening to me now, which isn't true because we have 41 listeners. Congratulations you for listening to my podcast. I am excited about all you listeners, and I want to hear some feedback from you. If you have feedback, send it to Wyatt@havenofbliss.com, and I'll talk about you on my show. So on the subway, as I'm riding back, I see this movie inside the tunnel between the train and the wall, and I'm like, how is there this movie? We're traveling at 55 miles an hour on this stupid little Blue Line, and I realized that they have posters lined up all along the interior of the subway, and they're lit up, you know, so that, and they also have little dividers so you can't see ahead. But as you pass, it's like those old movies from way back when you turn the crank and you see all the frames, and because of the speed of the train, it totally looks like a car TV commercial. And the car comes sweeping up and, you know, you want to buy the car or whatever else they're trying to sell to. It was really cool. Like, I thought it was like a video projector hooked to the train that I just didn't see, but it was really a cool idea, and I wouldn't be surprised if I saw those all over. So I ride the Red Line downtown last night for the Venetian night, and I rode it down today for the two last paintings, and it was delayed for 45 minutes because of medical emergency. Now, you know, that sounds legitimate, medical emergency, you gotta get the guy off. But if he had, like, a heart attack or something, why wouldn't they just take him off the train rather than leave him on the train? And why would it be delayed for an hour? I can't say why an hour. So some people had suspicion because the other day someone committed suicide on the train. I mean, I don't want to be the kind of guy who has to clean that up. And that's pretty dramatic if you were on one of those cars when someone killed themselves. But dealing with someone who has a heart attack, whatever, doesn't seem like a big deal. So I asked some police officers later, and they said there was a fire. A fire and a medical emergency are completely different. What is this, a terrorist attack? But I haven't heard anything about terror anywhere. So someone was probably just having a fight, and it was some aggravated assault. And I don't know what happened of it. It can't be any worse than the Taste of Chicago shootings where three people were shot. Now 26 is someone told my sister. I wish they would really improve these red lines. I heard they were already cut by 40%, or at least the buses and things were going. They don't even run the 156 by my house, and that's such a valuable bus on the weekends, and it's only in the business hours now. So, lastly, you've been waiting for this. This is my new novel, Normandy. I have almost 100 pages written of this new book. It's about a stockbroker who comes into fortune, and when he gives his fortune away because he doesn't want to live this selfish, rich life anymore, everyone abandons him. And a series of events pushes him away, and then he comes back, and he has to make some moral judgments, and I tie all kinds of things about current events from, you know, John Paul's assassination attempt to Ronald Reagan's attempt to Mayor Daley's political scandals right now, where there's, you know, 2,000 jobs or political jobs that have been given to people who help him be elected again. And I would really recommend checking it out. If you go to my website, havenofbliss.com, and go to the gallery and click on Normandy, that's with an I-E, you will be able to read the first few pages. It's written in a hardbound journal, and then I took photographs of that. So you'll have to deal with my handwriting, but I think that you might enjoy it. Eventually I might make an audiobook or type it up. And you can always read One Wing. One Wing is available online, all the chapters, and I'd like to hear back from you and what you think. So this has been Wyatt's Haven of Bliss podcast. My name is Wyatt Galen Houts, and until next time, thank you for listening, and come on back.